The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the Google Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR. Lee, this is Bird's Eye View. Jesse and Mike here, and it is the interim. It's the great unknown. We finished the high school fall season. Hopefully, I think it was just a solo recording last week, which was Thanksgiving.
No, we haven't been here in 3 weeks. Yeah,
that's true. You haven't been here in a while. I was here 2 weeks then, I guess, ago for the radiothon. So I was on with Bob Heck and some other gentlemen. Yeah. And talked about. Because of me, we talked a lot about sports. So they talked about baseball and we're coming to park.
It's like arguably the biggest, like, if it happens, arguably the biggest news story that we could kind of have in the sports realm, I think, in Berkshire County right now. Yeah,
certainly would be up there.
It's a giant if, though.
So that was actually the same day that the ice rink project from the Pittsfield Common to Wekona Park. And, I had known that from the beginning. That was always the end goal, but then it just kind of became the now goal, just because Wekona Park was more feasible. And then one of the people, I think it was Matt Rind, who's, a city councilor, or more councilor, ward something.
I don't know.
Anyway, I was like, so push, poke, poke, nudge, nudge, does this mean that Wekona Park is happening? And so then that led to more conversations. For my money, I said, I think this is a good thing if for no other reason than it keeps Wekona Park in the public conscious. Right. That kind of project has a lot of inertia, and the more it's out of sight, out of mind, the less likely it feels like it'll happen. So at least
that is very true.
It,
yeah.
Front and center is very much important.
Yeah. So it was like picking up food at Thrive. It used to be Adrian's. the other, like last weekend. And yeah, just kind of like walking by it and being like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. Like it does at least, we're sports writers, and it just kind of I just forget about it because it's been so long since the Suns played.
There's only so much things you can get going. The Babe Ruth tournament this past summer,
but a couple Babe Ruth tournaments. The BABL tries to fill it. There's played some high school games there. I covered a Western Mass final there, but it's just not the consistent presence
the
in our
yeah,
in our minds anymore.
For sure, but yeah, no, it's not the same. We also, this is the grand return of Henry. He was missing for a few weeks. So he's back there in the corner. We'll see what he's up to, perhaps
later
on.
We were inches from falling asleep on the drive here.
Nah.
That's why I was so late. I took a wrong turn. It's been so long. I took a wrong turn coming here. I don't know. I let my mind drift and just missed the junction thing there that doesn't show up on your GPS, but I know is a shortcut. And then was like, oh boy, now I'm stuck at a light. That's when I checked, and you always message me at like 9:55. Like, are you coming? And usually I'm walking in at that point, but no, this time I was like, I should probably check and tell him that I am coming, because just in case I'm late.
Oh, lovely, the professional.
Made it,
he's
baby.
He's a real professional. Do you still have Thanksgiving leftovers?
My wife told me not to eat them anymore.
What?
Like if you had food you cooked on Thanksgiving, by now in the fridge, it is not safe to eat anymore.
I don't think that's
according to her. I do still have one turkey leg in there, though. Yes, but she made the executive decision of taking all the leftovers out of the fridge and just left them next to the sink. I got to clean those out today. But yeah, that's the apparently the cutoff is like 4 or 5 days, I think, of cooked food.
That's
I do have some. We froze a good amount that we will eat later on.
Oh, like in the freezer?
Yes, yes. Okay. So there will be some
like
at some point.
Like leftover turkey or mashed potatoes or something like that?
I think it's a mixture. We were at my mom's house, my parents' house, and my mom, I think, filled up a Tupperware, and then we froze it because we were up there until Sunday night and then came home. But no, I think I'm out of it now on Thanksgiving. Like, I think we're...
Wow.
I could actually make food later.
That's,
We're moving on to cookies and stuff.
Not that I can really you know, you're saying as your wife is like a biology teacher, so it, you know,
she
I
does have
I,
yeah the benefit of knowledge.
Well, that's just that's completely
or the curse
inaccurate.
Of knowledge.
I don't I don't think that's.
Well,
think
sometimes
that's
she's like, you can do it, but I'm not going to. Like, all right.
Well, there you go.
I think I just have a stronger constitution.
No, 4 days after you, like the whole point of cooking it is that it lasts longer. Like this is the
you're talking
this,
bacteria stuff now, and I don't know.
The,
like,
this is the point of modern refrigeration is that it lasts longer.
It's fair.
I took basically like one small Tupperware with me for the food wise because I was going from New Hampshire to we had it in Andover, but you know driving from New Hampshire to the Berkshires, but then my cousin Augusta, who's you know, my mom's age, and she hosts Thanksgiving, she always. Goes just crazy on the desserts, even though she doesn't eat sugar, so she's just kind of just doing it for the rest of us.
Okay.
So I have like 20 cookies left over still.
Ah, okay. I think there might be still awesome. Desserts left, but yeah, I believe the food is.
Oh, I still have apple crisp left over too. That's in the fridge.
Okay.
Was Henry able to have like a little turkey or something?
Yeah, pretty much everything. He's a bit of a like a bit of a landfill for a baby. He had I think he had a bit of everything. The elder one is a little pickier.
Landfill makes sense. He probably gnaws on some plastic.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, if you like Halloween candy, just kind of gnaws through it and gets to the chocolate. He knows how to do it.
There you go.
That was good. It was a good Thanksgiving. I will say I watched a lot more football than I. And my little brother had a. A parlay of like I think he bet the over on all the games or something. So then like all of a sudden like my whole family is like rooting for him, and then like at some point in the day I'm like, how much did you put on this? And he's like $10, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Everyone's like freaking out that he's I'm like, you're gonna lose $10. I've watched 8 hours of football today for this.
That's funny. Well, my cousin's husband put like $100 on a parlay, and I think most other aspects hit, but the very first one didn't. So,
oh no! Well, this was the only game that didn't go over was the last game. So, I was locked in until midnight. Actually, I think he went to bed before me.
Let's see. No, that Thanksgiving I watched football during it, but then I finished the part one of season 5 of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, still on, yeah. It's on the to-do list.
On the to-do list?
I was watching the Daily Show late last night, like, from Monday, and, yeah, Jon Stewart, like, almost spoiled it. They did, like, a goofy thing with it.
That's
tough. But, Mike, I believe, yes, some cousins were talking about it, and I was like, no. I'll get to it.
I've been good with my friends when we're on, like, Discord or something. I'm like, all right, who's not caught up? I'm not trying to spoil it. Or in a group chat, you know, I don't want to be the one to ruin it for everybody. We're having a lot of preamble here, folks, because as I mentioned at the top, there's no high school, there's nothing going on. So, you know, we had the Lee High School football semifinal and the state semifinal. They lost. That was last week's on Thanksgiving episode. And next week is when high school basketball and hockey start. But in the interim, there's just not much going on. So we're kind of talking a little about Thanksgiving. Ooh, you guys are matching.
Actually, yes, yeah, we are. I was just looking
Mike
for a hoodie for him that didn't have stripes.
Mike is wearing a bit of an orange hoodie, and so is Henry. Although he's in his hood. He's looking...
It's cold out there.
It is cold out there.
It's supposed to be tomorrow. It's supposed to be like nuts.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to snow again, isn't it?
I think just like bitter cold, like sub-zero.
Well, that's fine.
Beyond sub-zero.
That's one. That might be a work from home day.
Yeah, but no. With the football stuff, you were at.
Oh, that's
the
true,
NFL.
Yeah.
We can continue our NFL.
I
solely
cover...
because. Yeah, I'm sorry to get into it. Like I was with all my family and watching football, and the talk was pretty much like, do we have to like we're caring about the Patriots again? Which is like for the longest time of my youth. The main time of year that I would see family on like a regular basis was NFL playoffs because we all kind of lived within, you know, an hour or so of everybody. So every Sunday come playoff season was like, OK, who's hosting the Patriots playoff party? And it was like it just became a consistent thing. And that's when I would see aunts, uncles. We would go to
who got into a fight with Henry?
Oh, I think himself, yeah. Got a bad cut on his cheek. I cut his nails every week,
like,
but yeah.
You
can't keep them short enough.
There, kid?
You can't keep them short enough. But it would be like, oh, my dad got this TV, and then like the next year, my uncle would outdo him and got like an 85 incher or something, and it would just kind of continue to grow and be like, oh, he's got the hot tub, so if the game's sucky, we can go in the hot tub. And that became a thing. And yeah, this is the first time now in 5 years, 6 years, really since Brady left, I guess.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
That it's like, oh, like who's hosting? No, we've all kind of scattered a bit more, so I don't know if that'll happen. But it was nice to be like, oh yeah, we used to do that every weekend in January, and then yeah, the Super Bowl parties, like every Super Bowl, every Patriots Super Bowl, I can kind of remember whose house I was at.
Yeah, so I put this on a road.
The Pats are back,
I covered the Patriots and the Giants game on Monday. That was very cool. It was I wrote this. The Patriots are good. There are no two ways about it. But you know, they're 11-2, and three of their wins are against teams with a 500 or better record. All right, they're beating up on. They have a very easy schedule, and they're beating up on it. And I think it's also just a general year in the NFL where everyone is not great, and you know, it's kind of going
to seems to be. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see which kind of, you know, vaguely over 500 team gets hot in the playoffs. You know, they have Buffalo and Baltimore coming up, and that's going to be huge if they can beat those teams. Not that Buffalo and Baltimore have been lighting it up this year, but those are still, you know, playoff caliber teams, teams that are capable of making deep runs. And if you can beat them, that says a lot. And then they have the Jets and the Dolphins, which you'd expect them to beat.
Yeah. I said the Baltimore team I saw on Thanksgiving, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, no.
Patriots schedule really is just complete garbage.
It is. It is. And so, and that's going to be part of it is, you know, when they face better teams in the playoffs, are they going to be ready for it? Because once again, they're just not facing that right now. And the other part of it is, you know, Drake May is an MVP candidate once again because everyone's not that great. Everyone's not that great.
He's an MVP candidate because there is no MVP.
Because there's no MVP this year. There really isn't. You know, he has not thrown for 300 yards ever, and he hasn't done it this year, which is not great.
I was watching on TV. He did it during the game, and then that play got called back.
That's true.
For the offsetting penalties, and they're like, oh, he still doesn't have it.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, he threw touchdown pass to Hunter Henry.
He won 10 straight games, and your quarterback hasn't thrown 300 yards.
And the Patriots, and so it got called off. Yeah, he finished with 282, and, you know, he, in the first half, he was great, and the second half, he was nearly as efficient. He was still, you know, it was good efficiency for the same amount of yardage and no touchdowns, and it was just a lot of empty calories. The Patriots had a lot of drives that, you know, did not score, and that's going to be an issue, especially when you're playing a defense that's much better than the Giants' terrible defense. And so, you know, yeah, those are, there's still a lot of question marks for both May and the Pats, but, you know, first year under Mike Vrabel, this is a great start to the season. It's a good season, you know. Even if
you wrote that your thing, like start to the season. I'm like, they're 13
yeah,
games in.
No, I don't know if we can still call it a start. Good midway point, like yeah, 13 games in. I mean, you know, if they finish up like 12-5, it's still, you know, it's still a very good season.
If they finish 12-5, that'd be pretty rough. close, given that they're.
Yeah,
11-2 now. So you're saying 1-4, 1-3. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, yeah.
Also, it means you lose to the Jets or the Dolphins, which at this point is unacceptable.
Sure, but that always that generally happens.
I can see it, but it's a lock up the first seed thing, which I believe. Yeah, I believe if they beat the Bills next week, they because they're off this weekend, but they would clinch the AFC East.
That I think is correct.
For the first time in
well,
a
while. No. Not if not the AFC. They have three divisional games left.
I don't think it matters.
If Bills isn't that bad in the division, maybe. They would the Broncos are right on their tail
for the
AFC.
For the number one seed in the bye.
So they
yes,
would have to really
crucial,
do well down the stretch. which is certainly possible. Like, you know, the Pats still don't have really good receivers. They arguably only have decent receivers. The offensive line benefited from the Giants having the worst run defense in the NFL. But not having Will Campbell is certainly an issue at left tackle. And defensively, our special teams was fantastic. Defensively, yeah, once again, it's like, you know, you're playing a bad team. It's kind of, what are you going to do? They have a good identity, though, which is an improvement. They play hard. They play fast. They play tough. And yeah, for the Giants, it was just like, this is another reason why everyone should be fired. You know, Joe Shane is the main culprit now at this point. Like, there are no other excuses. You know, this team is bad. This team is paper thin in year four, which is unacceptable. He has had so many misses. And all of his biggest hits are the guys that everybody said, take this guy. You know, it's like you don't get credit for doing the national consensus, right? Like, Malik Nabers was you know, maybe the third best prospect in his draft class, and you took him with your top pick. It's like, yeah, you did the obvious route. You did the thing everyone told you to do. You don't get credit for that. Same with Abdul Carter. You did that with Kayvon Thibodeau, and he has not really panned out like you wanted him to.
In the column, you didn't mention the running back at all, which I thought was...
Who? Cam Scadabu?
Yeah. Yeah, like, was that a good pick?
It was...
Seems like... I mean, I don't know if he's a bigger... If he's as good as everyone kind of makes him out to be just because of, like,
no, Cam
who he is personality-wise and stuff.
No,
but
he was a good pick. He was a fourth round. But he, once again, he was a... He was taken where he was expected to be taken.
Okay, that's fine.
But no, he deserves some credit for Scad, but Scad was also hurt. So, you know, it's like, all right, well, what am I, you know, oh, great, when he comes back from, having his ankle, like, snapped in half, like, you know, all right, let's see what he does. Yeah, he deserves some credit for Scadaboo. But, like, he took Evan Neal with the fifth pick or the seventh pick in the 2022 draft, and Evan Neal is now, you know, they're going to, like, waive him at the end of the year. Just so many failures, and now the Giants are in, like, real contention for the number one overall pick, top three pick, and, you know, you just really hard to trust him with that, and you certainly can't trust him with hiring the head coach, because four years ago, the Giants hired Joe Shane to be the general manager, and he was the assistant general manager for the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills had just been built up as, you know, a consistent playoff contender. He was a hot candidate. It made a lot of sense and gave John Mara, the owner, a lot of credit because he had kept things in-house, and in-house has been terrible. And so it's like, get out and get somebody new, get some new blood in there. And, I mean, I don't know enough to say the... Shane didn't really do anything. He was just kind of the assistant, and I don't know. Maybe he was super integral to them, to all their draft success. Maybe he wasn't. But from a 30,000-foot view, it made a lot of sense. Here was a guy who was the number two for a really good general manager, and they brought him in. Great. And then what happened? Because John Mara was like, I'm not going to be involved in the coaching search. Joe Shane just said, I'm going to hire my boy, Brian Daboll, who was the Bills' offensive coordinator. And John Mara, by all accounts, really wanted Brian Flores, who was the then recently fired Miami Dolphins head coach. And, you know, this led to the whole Bill Belichick text Ron Brian thing. And Brian Flores is now suing the Giants and the NFL for discrimination because John Mara can't get out of his own way and just let his team do its job. But, of course, then you have just Joe Shane. And as soon as Shane got hired, you knew for a fact Brian Daboll was going to be the head coach. Like, that's how this thing works, right? He goes into his Rolodex and he says, who's the guy I'm friends with, who I know intimately well? I'm going to bring over the guy from Buffalo with me, and that's who's going to be the head coach. And that's what he did with Brian Daboll. And Brian Daboll, once again, 30,000-foot view, he's the offensive coordinator for several high-profile coaches. He's the guy who helped Josh Allen turn into this MVP candidate. Great. And he... had one really, really good season his first year, and he's consistently underperformed. It's, you know, the first season seems to have been a fluke. That's the proof. And it just, you know, he is not ready. He was not ready to be a head coach. His skills as an offensive coordinator left a lot to be desired. And so now you're going to trust Joe Shane to do this again, and every single coach who's like, there's links, you know, maybe he's a giant. It's like they're all guys with links to Joe Shane. These are all his friends. And it's just, your friends are bad, all right? They are not good in this relationship. And this is a toxic relationship with all parties. And you cannot trust Joe Shane to make this hire. And the fact that they want to keep him makes it a less attractive job because, you know, a head coach does not want to have a guy hovering over them who's, you know, immediately, we need to win now. We need to win now. And, you know, might be fired. And it's a mess. And it doesn't help matters either that, you know, John Mara is battling cancer. And so, you know, his priorities are somewhat split at the moment. So yeah, it's just a complete mess. We're going to take a break and come back and maybe talk a little more NFL, maybe talk a little basketball. So stay right here on WTBR and WSBR as I...
Do you want to copy-paste this on UMass on UMass football as well? Offensive coordinator, this guy shouldn't be allowed to hire another guy. He's copy-paste.
The athletic director, yes. That is also accurate.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield 88.1 WSBR Lee. Bird's Eye View here with Jesse and Mike. Hank is making some noise there in the background. He's hopping in. He isn't still in recovery. His next fight is postponed. He's got a little bit of a... shiner there on his cheek, but you know there was a 9 month old that was it's looking like to get playing, the last goldfish cracker. So you know,
he looks like he played a pickup game against somebody with two long fingernails, which we've all been there.
I hope he's not playing pick. Is he playing? He's playing pickup.
I have some fun pictures of. He came with me on Monday to Pittsfield girls basketball practice, which was a opening day of winter sports, technically for practices and tryouts and all that was Monday. So I just stopped into Pittsfield. I was trying to figure out, like, okay, like, what do we know? Who do I know that's, like, not going through a complete tryout process? Because I don't like showing up to the... I hate going to the... Honestly, it's for whatever reason, we do it. We've always done it. But I don't like showing up on day one just because I feel like it's, like, weird added pressure on the kids just trying to make a team. And then I'm standing there with a camera.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, well, Pittsfield has... pretty much a returning starting five, starting six. I think they graduated maybe two girls off last year's team.
Enough starters.
And I guess Desiree Powell would be the biggest
Desiree Powell
point there.
But
there's five girls that we know are going to be very good back at Pittsfield. So I was like, oh, I'll just go and I can talk to them.
How are their numbers? Because they didn't have a JV last year.
Probably didn't look like enough for a... I wouldn't say it's enough for two full, like, 12-girl teams. Maybe.
How many were there?
I'm looking at a picture right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You can listen to Mike count live on air.
14-ish? Yeah, it looks like about 14 girls,
that's
maybe.
Not great.
Yeah.
That's not great.
They're all happy to be there. I got a couple, like, my main, beyond the, like, hey, is it cool that you got to wake up this morning knowing you got to play basketball later? Question. I just kind of was like, okay, like, what do you feel like people don't know about Pittsfield girls basketball entering this season? And I think Brigitte gave me an actual answer, Brigitte Ellerby. But at the same time, her answer was like, what people know. And then everyone else was like, I think they know what we're about. I think they know what to expect. I think I closed it with Madison Stetz's quote. I think they know what's coming. I think people know what's coming.
Yeah, no, it's a fair...
Which you should know.
It's a fair point. Like, yeah, they were a Final Four team last year. They won the Western Mass Championship for the first time. They should be excellent this year. I'm like, they should be a Final Four team. You know, assuming that Stetz comes back healthy. She had an ACL tear. And she probably is going to miss the first few games. So, when she's back... Oh, what's up, Henry? What's up, bud? Are you sad about the ACL tear too? Yours are good. Don't worry about it. You got several more years.
Very stretchy.
That's true. Yeah, you're very stretchy. You got all that cartilage right now. you know, assuming, because obviously even when she comes back, it's going to take time for her to get her legs back under her.
Yeah, I don't know that she'll be 100% at any point in the season. It seems like more of it's how much can she bear it? How much can she take?
Right. You know, you hope that by like late February, March, she's kind of back to normal, but she's definitely going to need a lot of run-up time. You know, assuming, however, that she can kind of get back to where she was, I think, yeah, this team is, they should be in the Western Mass Final, and they should be in the Final Four in D3. They, you know, they have certainly that potential. Harold Castillo could easily hit 1,000 points this year. Roger Ellerby is going to be really good. Keanu Summers is going to be really, really good. Caprice Conyers, we're excited to see what kind of leap she can take. They have a lot of really good pieces. And, you know, what'll be interesting with, at the state level at least, is St. Mary's of Lynn has won, I believe, either 2 of 4 or 3 of 4 D3 state titles in this new format, and they've been moved up to D2 now.
Mm-hmm.
So that roadblock is out of the way. And last year, Pittsfield had to play them in the Final Four, and if they were on the other side of the bracket, there's a real chance they can make it to Lowell. They make it to the state championship game. But St. Mary's of Lynn won, and they won the state title, and that's kind of, you know, they were better. And
literally one of two. They only lost 2 games last year. One was that game.
Right.
State semis.
And so, you know, this year now, there is a new potential, you know, big bad, and that's Cathedral. Cathedral from Boston. And Cathedral has won 3 straight D4 state championship games. So how Cathedral, you know, can handle D3, you know, does PHS have the athleticism and the size to match up? Those will be interesting questions if they meet. But yeah, you know, I'm looking at PHS as like Cathedral, Foxborough, like these are the teams that PHS has to match up with. But otherwise, like, they should be in a very, very good position to make a deep run. And, you know, kids who literally did it last year, and like, this is your senior year, how are you going to go out? So yeah, I think everyone knows what they're going to get with PHS. And they just it's on them now to go out and do it. You know, I hope, because last year was kind of the breakout, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I think there are going to be more expectations on them that we are better than the regular teams we face. And I hope that they do not get complacent about it. They have enough warts that will cost them. But it'll be an interesting season in the county because, you know, Hoosick girls are going to be rebuilding after, you know, some dominant years in a row. Wakona, I think, will be excellent. Madison McCarthy should be hitting 1,000 points. Daniel Hagmeyer, I'm very excited for what she does as a sophomore. Taconic is still rebuilding. Lennox will be interesting to see now that they... I don't think they'll have Chloe Parsenios and... 2 of the other players from last year graduated, so where they go will be interesting. Lee should be good, but I don't know. You know, they are losing Mia Polari. Oh, what's he playing with?
He's tearing these pictures off the wall.
Ah. You can't redecorate. You're not paid to do that.
Yeah, it'll be... I mean, I guess their biggest question will be depth. Like, we saw it in the state finals last year for Hoosick. Like, if you lose a girl or two to foul trouble, to other stuff, does Pittsfield have that depth?
Yeah.
Like you just said, obviously they didn't have a JV team last year. So half of those girls at tryouts either didn't play basketball last year or certainly weren't playing any kind of high school organized at that level. So yeah, there's a question there. Certainly entering the season.
Yeah, I agree. And then,
I'm
doing
quick math. I have Harold at 813 for points.
Yeah. She got 1,000. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, on the boys' side, real quick, we only got a minute left. You know, PHS Taconic, where are they? PHS graduated a bunch of its top scorers. Taconic, huge
also.
Graduations, also graduated all of its top scorers.
Yeah.
Kyle McGrath, Martin Buis, Cesar Santos. So yeah, who's going to score the ball? Taconic also lost a lot of height. How are they going to adjust? Monument Mountain lost all of its guards, lost, you know, probably, I don't know, 800, 900 points from last year.
Mm.
they went from a guard-heavy team to now a bigs-heavy team. Wakona, who's going to score for them, is still the $9 million question. Hoosick Valley has a new coach for the first time in a while. Bill Robinson retired, so how is that team going to look? Drury, Jorge Bond, I think could be the best player in the county, but what's the rest of the team going to look like? They graduated some of their key other pieces. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see as we wind down here. Like we said, next week will be a real preview for the basketball season. We'll have seen some more stuff. Mm-hmm. Next Thursday, I believe, is also the first day of the basketball season.
Yes, we have games next Thursday. There's a Scrim Fest at Wakona on Saturday, and Buckyball It is Tuesday night.
Have a good day.